This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You didn't think he was going to get fired, did you? Here's what happened to Urban Meyer. So, suspended for three games, coaching three games, I should say. He'll miss out on Oregon State, Rutgers at number 16, TCU. He has been suspended without pay. He cannot interact with his football team through September 2nd. The first game of the season is on September 1st. However, after September 2nd, he could rejoin the team, but he'll not be able to coach the games between Rutgers and TCU. So basically, from what I'm seeing here, it's you can prepare the team, but you can't actually coach them on game day. What a punishment for this.
Yeah, no wonder people are not like, needed for Oregon State.
Nope, not needed for Oregon State, apparently.
Yeah, you don't need to prepare for that team. That's probably what was in the decision-making.
It's like, what games Oregon do you, State.
That was probably what took 10 hours is him sitting there, like, you know, them going back and forth going, what games do you really need to be with the team to prepare?
Well, you know, we think Rutgers is going to be halfway decent. Well, maybe not, but that's all right. And we know TCU's good. What about Oregon State? No.
Throw that in there. I don't need to be back for that.
God, what went on in the 10 to 12 hours that they all sat in there?
I mean,
cut the tension with a knife. What were they talking about?
10 to 12. I mean, it's almost like, did they just stop and say, you know what, guys, let's all take a break. Let's watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy back to back. And then we'll revisit what's going on.
Can you imagine if at any point you were required to be somewhere and talk to for 10 hours? Even if it's on and off, even if you're in the room, out of the room, in the room, out of the room, even if you're spending time doing something else and then you come back in later, 10 hours? I mean, what is this, surgery? I mean, man, God, Lee, to talk about what, to come up with this 10 hours later. How do we spin this so it's a positive yet makes us look like we're tough? Hey, he's not coaching against TCU, folks. We took this seriously.
But he'll
prepare
the team.
Urban Meyer. That's right.
That team
we got
will
some
be
cuts
prepared.
From Urban Meyer, as well as Mary Jo White, who gave the investigation summary. We'll play those coming up next. I'm Tony D. That's Ron Culver. We're SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you'll be back with us, SB Nation AM. I'm not surprised Urban Meyer didn't get fired. I didn't think he would. I think Ron and I had talked possibly suspensions, time served, or if anything, two or three games. It ended up being three games. It doesn't feel like like a solid stance against this. Meyer didn't abuse his wife. Like, Meyer just knew about it and didn't know really what to do with it. That's what they're trying to spin it as. He you know, went up to the athletic director. The athletic director apparently didn't know what to do with this. They only fired Zach Smith when the McMurphy report was made public. That was a little shady to me. There was other things in this report that didn't seem to fit. But other than that, it's not surprising to me that Ohio State went the let's suspend. They weren't going to fire him. And I'm not saying this is a gigantic football move for Ohio State, because I think they would fire him if they absolutely felt like they couldn't overcome it, that this was just way too damaging on their coach's reputation. But I think there is this thought that we'll suspend him, we'll show this is serious enough, but there were some missteps. But this wasn't as egregious as people may think. You may disagree with that, but that's how they're trying to spin it. We got some clips from Mary Jo White, who was basically headed the investigation. So here's Mary Jo White giving the summary of what she found out.
Over 40 witnesses were interviewed, many more than one time, many several times, in person and over the phone. more than 60,000 electronic documents and 10,000 pages of Coach Meyer's text messages from the past year were accessed and reviewed, in addition to relevant media statements, police reports, court filings, the employment contracts of Coach Meyer and Athletic Director Gene Smith, other documents, relevant rules and policies, as well as applicable state and federal laws.
All right, so basically, you know, here's what we did, the entire summary. She did believe Urban Meyer did not lie in talking about the 2015 incident. When asked about what he knew and all that, she felt like he did not deliberately lie in answering those questions. And this was pretty strong, she also, in her belief in the conversations with Urban Meyer, that he has a strong commitment of respect towards women. Okay. So that went into play here. I know the knee-jerk reaction is going to be for everybody to jump on this as a football thing, as a football decision. It clearly is. However, I want to know, if from the committee standpoint, if they did their investigation and it was just a matter of Urban Meyer not going up the right chain of command, right? Not deliberately covering this up, because Urban Meyer is a smart guy. Ron, how many times do we talk about the cover-up is worse than the crime? But how many times also do we say, in this day and age in 2018, it is very, very hard to keep things a secret? It is very, very hard to get people to not, when people want to know, they'll find out. It's a very easy time with the internet to get background on people's information.
Oh, yeah, and that's why I always say I'm so glad I went to college when I did.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, I don't need anyone knowing what I did back then.
If you are on a press conference, if you're at the Big Ten Media Day and somebody asks you about Zach Smith abusing his wife and being arrested for abusing his wife or whatever it is, and you say, who would create a story like that? Where do you think they're going to go next? Do you think they're going to say, well, you know, by God, the coach told us there was nothing to look at, so I won't be doing any more research on this story? No, you could easily go find court records. One guy actually pointed this out in his column. I wish I could give him credit for it because I just kind of glanced at it. He actually went and found the 2009 arrest that was made by Zach Smith. It's easy. It's like you pay and you could call it up. It's the public record. You can find the arrest document of Zach Smith from 2009. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard. I mean, those days, look, remember when Bear Bryant coached, right? Just to use a kind of a non-serious example, more of a football example. When you go to like the recruiting world today, right? When Bear Bryant was at Alabama, and here's how recruiting went, okay? Bear Bryant would recruit players. And then the press would come to him and say, so Bear, how's the recruiting class looking for this season? And Bear would say, well, we got ourselves some very good players. We got a player out of Pennsylvania we think could start with us at quarterback. We got some good running backs. And we got a highly talented team coming in. And the press would take those kids' names, put them in the paper, herald it as the new recruiting class for Bear Bryant. And it's going to be awesome. In 2018, heck, you can go back 10, 15 years, that world doesn't exist. The coaches who come out and talk about their recruits, okay, great. What was his name again? And then they're going to look him up. Then they're going to find out about him. They're going to be able to see film online about him. They're going to be able to read game stories. If you're working out of the Tuscaloosa paper, you can't just run back to your office in 1962 and read up on, you know, some kid in from Nebraska that you were able to recruit, from some kid from Georgia you're able to recruit from your desktop. But nowadays, you can find out anything about anyone at any given time. So when Urban Meyer talks about Zach Smith in that sort of coachy way, like there's nothing to see here, take my word for it, those media members ran and found more stuff, or that they were, and that's where this whole thing snowballed. With Brett McMurphy was like got a lot of information on this. So she doesn't believe he deliberately lied there. But here's Mary Jo again on the decision on the suspensions of both Urban Meyer and Gene Smith.
We've worked very hard in a short period of time I know you've waited tonight, but a short period of time to investigate this matter and have arrived at our findings independently. And it is important to emphasize that the findings of the independent investigation are the findings of the investigative team, and they are ours and ours alone.
Okay. I don't want to accuse anybody on this committee of making a football decision, because if they really do believe that it just warrants a suspension for a period of time, that's fine. We are talking about people's livelihoods and jobs, and I get that, and reputation. If Urban Meyer is fired from Ohio State, for something like this, you know how this works. The facts of this get muddled, okay? And they do get distorted, right? It gets to a point where if Urban Meyer was let go for this, the story in 2, 3, 4, 5 years of Urban Meyer's legacy is, oh yeah, then he went to Ohio State and helped a guy get away with beating up his wife. That's how it gets perceived. Because we take things and we sand them down to the easiest convenience, right? There's never any details when history gets a hold of a story. It's always just, nope, straight up. And you can go through the history book after history book after history book and find out when we've done that. There are details in everything, but we always rub them down to the basics. So Urban Meyer's legacy, if he had been fired from this job, would have been, wow, successful coach, 3 national championships, but helped a friend assistant coach get away with hitting his wife. So I understand where the committee might have said, we don't want to play around with that legacy. Also, I don't want to accuse him of making a football decision, but if you ever seen the documentary Pony Excess that was on about the SMU scandal in the 80s, when the NCAA findings on SMU warranted a death penalty on the program, the guy that had to deliver that almost had a panic attack, knowing he was going to be the messenger of some very, very, very bad news to some very, very angry people, telling them that their football program was going to be shut down and there was no football program. So that, I think, would be, I just think in human nature, that would play a factor in where you're going with this. Are these issues here so egregious that it warrants a man losing his job? Some will say yes, others will say no. What does this committee think? They say no, but they're the ones that have to deliver that to a public that stood outside the building. They were outside the building like it was a vigil, like outside of a hospital, praying that the surgery was going to go well. Oh, I hope he makes it. I hope he comes through. I think that has a. I think that plays a factor. I just think it's just human nature that has to play a factor. I mean, we're all creatures. We don't want. None of us really enjoy this kind of conflict. None of us want to be harassed and have to sell our homes and move out of state or anything like that. So I think that does play a factor here, and maybe just a little bit. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number if you want to get involved in this conversation. Did Urban Meyer deserve to be fired? Is the suspension good enough for you? It's good enough for a lot of people in Ohio State, that's for sure. They get him back right after the TCU game. 800-777-2907. And good news for the Buckeyes, he can at least help them game plan for those vaulted long Horned Frogs. 800-777-2907 is the number. It's SB Nation AM.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Summer's heat can be draining on your vehicle. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now. Have your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right. By the way, Thanksgiving weekend, Ron, the Phil Tiger match is going to go down at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas, but it's on pay-per-view. Do they really think they're going to generate a lot of pay-per-view viewings for this?
Well, this isn't going to be like Mayweather Pacquiao.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. You know, $100 per pay-per-view.
How much are they going to charge for that, you think? 20 bucks? 30 bucks?
I have no idea. I mean, whatever you pay, quite honestly, you will get your money's worth because it's a four-hour event.
It is a four-hour event.
So you'll get your money's worth no matter what. Now, did you see the controversy?
I saw that they're kind of going back and forth on Twitter.
Well, no, not only that.
I'm having fun with that, but I don't know the controversy.
The poster. Did you notice the poster?
No, I did not notice the poster. I didn't even see the poster.
Well, you type it.
There's a poster already?
Well, whatever they put on Twitter, you know, the picture they put on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I saw it, but I didn't notice anything. Go ahead.
Yeah, you got to look at Tiger's club.
Is it Nike?
No, it's left-handed.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
I think
was that deliberate, or did they just superimpose it and flip a picture?
I think a graphic artist took certain liberties.
That's a nice little trash talk. Like Tiger can hit it left-handed too.
Yep, maybe. Maybe
Phil
can hit
it right-handed.
Maybe it's subliminal, but I do believe that a graphic artist probably took certain liberties. So you know what, the club head looks better this way than the other way.
Wow!
But because of the way he's swinging it, you can tell it's a left-handed club.
Left-handed driver. I like golf. I'm not buying this at all. I'm not gonna purchase this at all.
Nah,
it's too bad. I would have watched it if this was on the Golf Channel or if this was on NBC Sports or some. You know, I know it wouldn't be on prime time. That would be silly. But I mean, if it was on one of the sports networks, I would have watched it. I would have thrown it on. I would have flipped back and forth. They're both going to be mic'd up. That's kind of cool to me. I like listening to golf strategy. I know I'm a geek. I play golf. I like hearing what guys talk about when they hit a shot, how they're going to shape a shot, what kind of yardage they're looking at. I'm into that kind of thing. I want to hear a little trash talking. I get it. But listen, if you're going to get me to buy a pay-per-view, I really have to be emotionally invested in the event. It has to be historic. Like, I will buy a good boxing match, a fight, even if the fight doesn't live up to the hype. If the fight is got a historic nature to it, I'll get a pay per view fight. But this is a different kind of entertainment. It's not. I don't need this like I would need like if a movie came out and I get it on pay per view or whatever. I'm just not going to pay money to see these two guys play golf. It's too bad too because it. It looks like a great event. It looks like it's going to be cool and fun and neat. And, you know, I wish these guys really didn't like each other, but they're good friends now. If it was 15 years ago, it would have been better. But I'll take what I can get. But I don't know. Now, I will say Jason Sobel at ESPN made a very good point on Twitter because there's a lot of people that say, well, I want Tiger and Phil should play for their own money. And he said, listen, basically these guys would write a check. Their accountants would write a check. It would be part of some sort of tax deduction. So it's no big deal. It doesn't matter if they're playing for somebody else's money or their own money. The money part of it is not relevant. I don't think people are going to buy this because they're playing for $9 million. I think they're going to buy it because, I don't know, the Tiger versus Phil thing, they're kind of invested in it. It's kind of cool. Phil Mickelson has said many, many times he felt like he came at a wrong time. He's glad he's got his five majors, but he came when basically a roaring Tiger was emerging onto the scene of golf and nobody was able to keep up with him. But he felt like he could have won more majors. Lord knows he had his opportunities. I mean, he was the one that blew the Wingfoot thing, not Tiger. He's never gone head to head against Tiger in a major. Like they've never had a major where Phil beat Tiger by one or Tiger beat Phil by one. They had a little bit in Bethpage, I think in 2002. But that's about it. They never really went mano a mano in the final round of a major or anything like that. But here's the other thing, though. Is this a bad weekend for it? Thanksgiving? For this kind of event?
I think there's a lot going on. Yeah, no, but I think it's just bad timing.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, if you did this 10 years ago, I think there's a lot more interest.
They can't change. So would it be interesting if they moved it to a...
Because the following weekend, the weekend after?
I don't know.
All the festivities?
It's just too many things going on Thanksgiving weekend. I mean, look, Thanksgiving weekend's got a ton of good college football games. That's usually around that time. They got good rivalry games going on. The NFL owns Thanksgiving Day. They also play a game on Sunday. And then also, a lot of people are just with their family. They may want to watch sports, but they're not. A lot of people are with family. They're traveling. It's like, I don't need to be engulfed in 15 different sporting events this weekend. I've already got my share of it.
Us guys get a free pass for watching football on Thanksgiving because it's a tradition.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd get a free pass to say, honey, I know you need it. You made plans or you need help in the kitchen or whatever it might be. I got to watch golf.
And they're going to pay $50 for it.
Yeah, exactly. On top of that. I don't know how much that would fly.
No.
Every year, it's like, I got to watch, I want to watch this game I got to do homework. And yeah. I can get away with it, but
yeah, it's just because it's a tradition. Too much.
Golf, I don't know. Yeah, don't maybe know. If it was the following weekend and you do it like, all right, honey, yeah, go ahead and go shopping. I'll come with you. Just post me up at a bar.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll just watch a little bit there because it's also. I don't think it's that riveting of a match that you need to sit there intently and watch all 18 holes.
No, and what the problem with pay-per-view is, and this is another thing. Ratings in both television and even in radio and whatnot, there's a formula that you're polling a certain percent of the audience, and then you extrapolate that. It's all that good stuff. When you talk pay-per-view, the numbers, how many people bought it. And if this is a bomb, if this doesn't meet expectations, then it becomes a bad idea that everybody knows is a bad idea. If you put it on TV and it doesn't get great ratings, well, you can be like, well, it reached a certain number of – we believe it still reached a golf audience, right? We believe it reached the people we wanted it to reach to. Okay, great, fine. Whatever it is. That's what golf normally does. But in pay-per-view, if you come back and you go, well, only this many people bought it and that gets out, then the event becomes a dud. Maybe you don't want to know exactly how many people are tuning into your golf match play event between two guys in their 40s. On Thanksgiving weekend. And by the way, you know what else is Thanksgiving weekend? The Maui Invitational. If you like college basketball, which I do. So I like to watch a little bit of that too. I don't think I have room in my busy schedule for Tiger and Phil. Plus my in-laws are coming to my house for Thanksgiving. I got to entertain them. I can't watch Tiger and Phil 4 hours of golf. And my wife has actually stopped Black Friday shopping. She did that for years. So that would have been a tight weekend anyway. Kind of getting $50 to go watch a golf. I don't even know if it's $50.
It's going to be up there. I got to figure out some way to come up with, $9 million for the winner?
Yeah, $9 million.
Yeah, I got to figure out some way. Those guys need the cash.
Yeah, Tiger and Phil.
Yep, they don't, they
I saw
don't
somewhere
have
where,
$9 million.
I saw somewhere where Phil Mickelson, his net worth was like $375 million.
I believe it. I'm surprised it's that low.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, if you got a kid and he's good at golf, man, get him, it's a great sport.
It's a good investment.
It's a good investment. Golf is the endorsement opportunities of golf are crazy, but also you get high-end endorsers like, Rolex and things like that. I mean, it's like you see these ads like Jordan Spieth and is wearing a Rolex. Jordan Spieth, a 24-year-old kid, he's pimping Rolexes and Cadillacs. Remember when Tiger was doing a Cadillac ads? Those were the best. Tiger driving around in his new those were the best. Those were the best. Phil Mickelson was doing investment firms. Like this is not like NFL guys. This is a different world. Plus, they get like their endorsement deals. Playing a certain club is like $10 million a year or whatever it is. Yeah, it's a good way to make a living. Plus, you get to play in your 50s. When you're plus 50, they set up a whole new way for you to make money and stay in the public light. It's fantastic. All right, 800-777-2907. So I don't know if I'll watch it. I'm interested in the outline. Yeah, I want to see the highlights. I want to see the highlights. But
here's the thing. I mean, the one bad thing about it, too, is that if it's, you spend all that money for the pay-per-view, what if it's a runaway?
Yeah, what if Tiger wins, 8-7. That's a short night.
Yeah.
And it's not even close. Phil is like, Phil's off his game. And it's like, oh, this is not going to be good. Tiger's hitting into the other fairway. He doesn't play his Tiger-esque way. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
800-777-2907, SB Nation AM rolling along. I am Tony D, Ron Culver alongside. Before I get to this Travis Frederick story for the Cowboys, you know what I found in the store the other day? I was so thrilled to find in the soda aisle. Diet cream soda. I have to drink diet soda, but diet cream soda.
Is that an oxymoron?
Yeah. I love cream soda, though. No, I'm one of the only few people.
It's a good go-to soda. I mean, when you're needing that change-up, cream soda's not bad.
No, I like it a lot. I can't, not to use a pun, but I don't make a steady diet of it. There's a little sweetness to it that I can't, after a while, it's because it's got a little bit, you know, it's a vanilla-y drink.
Yep.
But I enjoy it, and I was glad I found it because I was trying to mix it up a little bit. I usually get the same stuff, and I was like, "No, I think I'm gonna go with this." So,
I'll either do that or I'll throw in a root beer every once in a while.
Oh, I know, it's great.
Just to change it up, you know, something exactly. Out of the norm. Feel like a kid.
That's right.
You know, your 8-year-old self going, don't want real soda, but want that fizzy sweetness.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so you hear about Travis Frederick of the Cowboys? He's got a neurological disorder that gives him weakness in his muscles. He had been going to get tested for stingers.
It's not good for a football player.
No, in Los Angeles. He was out in Oxnard, California, and he was going to see a specialist in L.A. because he had been getting a series of stingers, and he kept wondering what was going on with that. So he went to a couple of specialists and has now been diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation. It's the best I can do. It's a rare neurological disorder in which the body's immune system attacks the peripheral nervous system, meaning he gets weakness at various points of his body. So his arm could go weak or his legs could go weak.
He can go weak at the knees.
Yeah, he can go weak at the knees. There's no timeline for his return to the Cowboys. They don't know.
Would there be one?
I don't think he could play anymore.
Yeah, would you want someone, playing for your team that all of a sudden, like, at a snap of fingers, like, oh, he can just become weak?
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, not to be callous, but you know how the NFL is. Would you want a guy on the payroll that could be out 3 weeks at any given moment at any given time based on this, you know? Like, you're in the middle of a playoff run and you're...
Hard to game plan.
Starting center is like, I can't play for the next 4 weeks because things are not right. I mean, I know it's a cruel business, and that's just what it is. He has played in every single game that he could participate in. He has started every single game since he joined the Cowboys. I remember when he got drafted, people chuckled at this draft pick, and he ended up being a Pro Bowl center. But it's kind of a sad story.
Yeah, but not really. I mean, if he's all of a sudden like spontaneously getting weak or just can't do it, that's not a good position.
No, not
having
someone. Yeah.
I mean, you got a big. Nose tackles are usually, they're almost pushing 400 most of the time, and athletic.
Yes. Yes,
you don't want
exactly.
that guy just be charging right at your guy, right yes. at your quarterback.
So this is what he said. He said, "My doctors have told me that it's not possible to determine a timetable to return to the field right now, but I'm hopeful I'll be able to play as soon as possible. I'm deeply grateful for all the people who have expressed concern for me throughout the past 4 weeks. My teammates and Cowboys organizations provided me and my family tremendous support. I wonder how long they're going to keep up that support, though."
This is sad.
Yeah, this is sad because, I mean, look, I always hear stories like this every now and then, and especially, it affects us a little more in sports when we feel like we know the guys or that we know what importance they play to the organization, where they go in for one thing and they come out and they're like, oops, no, it's this. And you're like, okay, now he's dealing with that now. So he went in again. He was just having some stingers. He didn't feel quite right, felt a little different than normal stingers, goes in to get checked. Here he comes out with a syndrome that's not only damaging to the, attacks the nervous system, but it's very rare. It's a rare neurological disorder. And he's got it. I don't know if he'll ever play again. I mean, I take that back. I'm sorry. You know what I think? I think it's going to happen. I think he'll play again and then realize at some point it was a mistake, right? he'll be okay. He'll feel better. He'll play. And then a couple of weeks later, something will occur, or he'll feel some weakness on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, or maybe even in the game, and realize, I don't know what to do with this. I got to sit out. And then by sitting out, he may go, you know what? I don't think I can do this anymore.
Or just realize that, you know, he just doesn't have it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be hard for him to admit.
Yeah, that's the hard part. That's the hard part.
That he would sit there and go, you know, it's like, I missed that tackle. It wasn't because I wasn't in the right spot. My mind is there. I just, you know, couldn't get there quick enough, or I just didn't have the strength to stop him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all athletes go through that, and some see it earlier than others. We've seen in the last couple of years in the NFL, players go, you know what? I want to leave intact. I want to leave at my better self.
Have all your faculties.
Right? Have all my faculties. So I've played this game for a few years. I've been able to put away a little bit of money. I now want to go into the second part of my life and do something else. Use my contacts and the people that I've met to start a business or get into this business field. And then they go off and do that. Look, I remember, late 90s. When I moved to Las Vegas, I mostly moved to Las Vegas to be part of auto racing that was there in the city. But I also did a lot of other sports and UNLV stuff and anything that was going on in the city, boxing, anything else that was going on in the city. And in May of 98, Frank Sinatra had passed away, and Sinatra had a celebrity golf tournament. So that year, they didn't cancel the tournament because he died. They kept the tournament alive because it was for charity and whatnot. But it was bigger than ever because Sinatra had passed away. Our radio station was a partner, and I got to go. And there was all sorts of celebrities there. There was a cocktail party. My wife and I got to meet Wayne Newton. That was kind of a cool thing. But we saw, like, Steve Spurrier was there. And all of these former athletes, right, different from different walks of life. And, Ron, I'm telling you, there's nothing more sinking, especially for a young guy like me at the time, to see football heroes, I'll use that in quotes, that I grew up watching. Ron, they couldn't get out of golf carts without help. Like, they needed help to get out of golf carts. I didn't think about this kind of stuff. Like, it didn't even occur to me at that young of an age that I'm watching 40, 50-year-old guys that can't move around well because of their time in the National Football League. They just didn't have the knees anymore. They just didn't have the back anymore. Yeah, once they got up and they kind of was able to limber up a little bit and they stood upright, they could play some golf. But they had a hard time getting in and out of golf carts. It was very difficult. Now, Travis Frederick is going to have to make a very difficult decision because of this syndrome that he has, this neurological disorder. He's going to have to ask himself, is this exacerbated by playing football? Am I adding problems to my body by playing football that are going to just make this, it's just a pile of worse. So imagine having this and also bad knees. Imagine having this, again, this attacks your immune system and makes you weak at certain body parts at various times. So imagine having that on top of an arm that doesn't feel quite right, or shoulder that never quite heals, or a knee that just bothers you every single morning, or the fact that your back hurts a lot. I mean, is that something you want to deal with? He's a young guy. He's only been in the league 5 years, still in his late 20s. And do you want to have that for the next 50 years of your life? I mean, that's a big decision. I don't know if I would continue on playing football, but I don't have something like that in my life that I've done since I was a kid that I could get to continue to do as an adult. You know, I always wanted to be in radio, but it wasn't until I was in college that I got into radio. Like, I didn't do radio full time in high school. I didn't do it when I was 6 years old. I didn't do anything like that. I got my first professional gig 2 weeks before I graduated college. Right? These guys have been playing football since they were peewees, right? So it's been part of their life. So if you're 27, chances are you've been playing it for 20 years. And to just say, that's it, I'm done, I'm out, and to break off that marriage in your life of something you've been doing and love to do and getting paid to do it, I don't wish that on anybody. I don't wish that decision on anybody. That has to be a very, very extremely difficult decision. And I hate it when media guys like me throw it out as if it's an easy thing for guys to do. Like, I don't have a problem. I'm not one of those guys that gets on an athlete's case when they retire and then unretire. When they go, I retired. And then they go, you know what? I want to come back. I go, God bless you, because you there is a point in your life where Father Time goes, no way, you're out forever, done. But if you feel like that's not then, not right now, you may have thought, no, a year ago it was, now it's not, then do it. Keep doing it, because there is going to be a point in your life where you won't be able to do it at all. And Travis Frederick, I feel like, I don't know if I'd want to deal with the large list of problems my body is going to go through. This plus all the other things. I don't want to be a 50-year-old guy can't get out of a golf cart. You know, that's at least the decision. I don't know. That's the decision I would make. It's kind of a sad story. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number if you want to join us on the program. We're going to get more to the Urban Meyer situation. We'll hear from Urban Meyer. We've got a lot of cuts to play. We'll hear one cut from Urban Meyer on his relationship to Zach Smith. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, the big story, Urban Meyer is suspended for 3 games. He won't coach Oregon State against, Ohio State against Oregon State, Rutgers, and TCU. Urban Meyer did speak yesterday. A lot of people criticizing the way he said certain things, the way he didn't say certain things. Here is Urban Meyer talking about his relationship with Zach Smith.
Most of what I know about Zach Smith is work-related, and I've throughout my career, I've taken an approach when I see someone in distress or someone struggling, I seek to get counsel and help for that person. And the biggest regret, I wish I would know more. If I would know more, I would take action much quicker.
Nah, that seems like a cop-out to me. That seems like a cop-out to me. You mean you didn't want to know more, or you didn't really know more? Like, you knew about the 2009 thing. Your wife knew when she got the text messages on the bruises. I have a hard time believing your wife totally kept you out of it. But did you want to know more? Or did you wish, you know, like, if I don't know, plausible deniability, there are no aliens in Area 51, Mr. President. You know, if you keep your distance enough, he can stay on the staff. You can keep your relationship with Earl Bruce good. But the more you know about Zach Smith, the more you're not going to like it. The more you're not going to like him. So, yeah, it was professional, but don't get too close, Zach, because if you get too close, I'm going to be forced to do something, and I'd rather not do something. There's two sides of that. I don't know, or I didn't want to know. Right? Here's Urban Meyer again talking about the decision to fire Zach Smith. All right, we'll come back to that one. So again, people are going to see this the way they want to see this in terms of the lens on the magnitude of Urban Meyer's decision or non-decision, right? So here's Meyer again on his decision to fire Zach Smith.
He made it sound like it was not that big a deal. I told Gene, and Gene and I both decided just keep him updated. And I was very disappointed it happened approximately 2 months prior to that. I was very upset that he didn't share that with me. And I made that clear. You have to keep me exactly posted on any situation like this so I can alert Gene. And then I go to media days, and that Monday I find out there's a restraining order. And that's when termination became entered my mind. First of all, the seriousness of a restraining order. And then also, again, the fact that I made very clear that you keep me posted and alert me to any situation, and he did not do that. And later that day, I made the decision to fire him.
He is never going to admit, and no one at Ohio State will ever admit, that the reason Zach Smith got fired was because it was being reported by Brett McMurphy. That find another avenue, find another way we can justify the firing of Zach Smith that has nothing to do with the report on Facebook coming out about the details of Zach Smith's abuse on his wife. Right? The restraining order, we found out, you know, he lied. But the reality of it is no action was taken until Brett McMurphy posted this story on Facebook. Then Zach Smith got fired. And Meyer, up on that podium at Big Ten Media Days. And I said this from day one, because I know my media friends hate this, but it's true. Nobody in the public cares if they lie to us. Stop being self-righteous. They lie to us all the time about injuries. They lie to us all the time about decisions that they make in a game. They lie to us about recruiting. They lie to us about coaching changes. They lie to us about their interest in other jobs. They lie to us all the time about stuff. We consider it minor, and we consider it part of the deal. When a coach tells you he's going to, I'm at State U for the rest of my life, I'm just proud to be a Warhawk, that's a lie. He's currently in negotiations to leave the program. You know it, and I know it. But that's part of the game, and then we accept that part of the game, right? Sometimes they even lie to their players. I've dealt with that many times. Nobody in America is crying because they lie to us. When I heard people say, well, this is a fireable offense, he lied to the media. That's not a fireable offense in 2018. It just isn't. We can be on the soapbox all we want about doing our jobs, getting to the public. It's a bigger story than sports. It is a bigger story than sports. But nobody is going to cry crocodile tears for us because we got lied to. We get lied to all the time. It's up to us to take that information, take those quotes, and discern it what we may. Urban Meyer is lying at Big Ten Media Days is just an embarrassment for the school. It makes the school look bad. It makes him look bad. But that's not a fireable offense. It just isn't. Some other things are a fireable offense. And he may have escaped that in this situation. But getting on the stage at Big Ten Media Days and telling a bold-faced lie is not going to get him fired. It just isn't. Lying to your boss is. Lying to the media is. SB Nation AM.